Moshe Mitzrayim for that Lahuchshur Lamelech Hashemayim Al Arba Hemet Arba Vat. So the Gemara says no, it cannot be because the Bayis Shal Rosh has a shin on it, and the shin on the Bayis Shal Rosh is a real os that's considered an os of the Divrei Torah. So that shin must be written on a parchment from an Arba Hemet Torah based on the pasuk Taras Hashem Eficha. So what do I need the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of Lahuchshur Lamelech Hashemayim? The Gemara says it goes on Ritzulis. Rabbi Kibbeke asks, why not say it goes on the Tefillin Shal Yad? Why not say it goes on the Bayis Shal Yad, which doesn't have any shin written on it? It's Arachim. Rabbi Kibbeke asks on Daf Chav Chesed Beis. The Gemara, we don't understand. The Gemara doesn't answer that. The Gemara says it goes. Maybe it goes on that also, but it also goes on the Ritzulis. That the Ritzulis have absolutely no Osios written on them at all, for sure. And still it has to be Halacha. Mitam Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The Ritzulis may not be made from our Behemoth Meir. So Taisus asks Akasha, what do you mean? Is Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? And Rashi says Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim means that the Kesher on the Shalyad should be in the shape of the Yud, and the Kesher on Shalosh should be in the shape of a Dalad. Together with the Shin on the Bayis Shel Rosh, you have the letters of Shin and the letters of Dalad and Yud, which spell the Shem Hashem, and that corresponds to the pasuk that says Ro Kalam Yoritz Geshem Hashem Nikra Lecho B'Yorim Mimecho. When the Goyim will see that the Jews have Shem Hashem on us, and the Gemara says Eilat Tefillin Shel Rosh, and you see we have the Shin and the Dalad and the Yud. Then they'll have Yira, then they'll have more of them. So if Rashi says that all of this is really Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, not only the Shin has to be on the Batim, you have to have the Dalin and the Kesher and the Yud on this Kesher. So the Ritzus also have Osius. So just like the Gemara says that the Bayis Shel Rosh has to be from Or Behemoth Tahora because it has the Divrei Torah, has a Shin. So the Ritzus Shel Rosh have a Dalin and the Ritzus Shel Yad have a Yud. So how can the Gemara say that the Ritzus are not covered by the Pasuk and you need the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, the Luchshur, the Melech Hashamayim? A Lord Behemitar Bulbad. This is Taisus Kash. Taisus Brochus is Takash and Nafchet. Famous Kash. So Taisus proves from this that Rashi is wrong. That the halakha of Moshe Mitzrayim that requires a Kesher Shel Tefillin doesn't require a special shape. Mikir Adin Mehalakha Moshe Mitzrayim, the Kesher is kosher in any shape. It's a good knot, it's a good Kesher, any crazy Kesher. It doesn't matter what the knot looks like. It's only the Rabbanan that you have a Dalit over here and a Yud over here. And the whole Rem is that Rashi said you have a Shin over here and a Dalit over here. That's only the Rabbanan. And Atera, there's no real need to have a Tzura of a Dalit, Tzura of a Yud. But the Kasha is the Rambam and Rashi both insist that the Dalit is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the shape of the Dalit and Yud Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. If you wear a pair of tefillin with a Dalit, that the Kasha that doesn't look like a Dalit, according to Rashi and the Rambam, you're not Yetzim and the Reis, you're not Yetzim and the Mitzvah tefillin and Atera. So according to Rashi and the Rambam, what do you have to do with Tosis Kasha? And Afchot Ches and the Beis and Shabbos, when the Gemara says, I need a Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim to teach me that the Ritzuas of the tefillin must be made from Or Behemoth Tahora, from a kosher animal. What do you need that Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim for? Why not pasul Ritzuas from Or Behemoth Tmeyah based on the pasuk that requires Taras Hashem in Amuta Befilchon? You have the great Torah, you have the Dalin, you have the Yud.
Going to Tosfos where we learn Dalin Yud.
Talmud the Rabbanan. The shape that it should have, the Dalin Yud, is only the Rabbanan. That it should be a knot, that's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but that it should be with Tzuras Dalim, with Tzuras Yud. That's not the Nater. That's Min the Rabbanon. It's not Miyakim. The Nater is not Miyakim. The Rabbanon is needed. So according to Tosis, you don't have Al Pidin. You don't really have a Dalim Yud. So you need a Pasuk to tell you that the Ritzuas must be Miyar Behemot Torah. But according to Rashi and the Rambam, that Tosis Kasher. According to Rashi and the Rambam, that the Tzura of the Dalim and Tzura of the Yud Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So why don't you cover the psul from the pasuk? Why doesn't the pasuk when Amutu Bechicha teach you that the ritzuas from our behemoth meyer is no good? So the Brisker Rav in the Sefer has a teretz on the Rambam. He says if you look carefully in the Rambam and Hilchas Tefillin, he words it differently. He says you have to have Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that you should have a kesher and the shel rosh that should be in the shape of a dalit. He says it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that you have to make a shin on the bayis shel rosh. Then he doesn't say it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim you should make a dalit in the ritzuas. He says Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim you should make a kesher sheyeh b'tzuras dalit. She'll look like a dalit. So the Brisker Rav said he thinks that's the answer to Rashi and the Rambam. That they hold not the shin is taka shin on the bayis, but the dalit new, that's not a nos dalit or a nos yud, it's a kesher b'tzuras dalit. A kesher b'tzuras yud, but it's not really a yud, it's not really a dalit. So mainly you don't have any osios of divrei Torah. So that's why it's not covered with the pasuk of Taras Hashem Eficha. You don't have any divrei Torah there. The question is, why should you say like that? That it's not really a dalit, it's a kesher in the shape of a dalit. It's a make-believe dalit. Why should it be like that? So the Brisker Rav said he thinks that that's what the Gemara meant to say. That, and then he quotes the Ur Zeruah, says like this, the famous. The The Gemara says, "Varisa sachayrai fana lo yirol." So the Yozeru explains. The Gemara says, "Kesha shil tefillin harav kadosh baruch hu l'Moshe." So the Yozeru says he showed him that the kesha should be in the shape of a dalit. What's so difficult? Just say, make a kesha and make a dalit in the kesha. So he said, "No." The Baruch Hu didn't want him to think that it's not a dalit. It's not a dalit. He said, "Make a kesha that should look like this." And it happens to look like a dalit. For our purposes, we say it looks like a dalit because that's what it looked like when he showed me. But it's not that the kesher really is a dalit. It's a kesher that has a tzura of a dalit. But since it's not really an os, so therefore it's not covered with the din of teres Hashem. So the Bishgrav said he thought that that's why in each case that the Gemara mentions that Herod HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, that he showed him something, it's a din of marah. By the shratzim, it's a din of marah. Whatever it looks like, that's what category falls under, even though biologically it shouldn't be in that category. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin, so it's a din of the tzura. That's the Loshon HaRambam in Hilchas Tefillin. A kesher b'tzura is dalit. It's not that it really is a dalit. It's a kesher b'tzura is dalit. So that's why it's not possible on behemoth tmei mitam the pasuk. That's why you need a halacha l'moshe m'sina. And then the Biskrov said the same thing regarding the menorah. You find in the Rashi quotes in the Medrash, says later in Parshas Vayakov, kein osa as ha-menorah. What does it mean, kein osa as ha-menorah? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it because niskasha Moshe b'menorah, he wasn't able to do it. He threw up his hands, he didn't know what to do, so he took a big chunk of gold and he threw it into the fire, and then it happened by itself, and that's when Hashemayim occurred and the menorah developed by itself. So the Mefarshim asked Chumash, what was so difficult to make a menorah? The Gemara says, the Hashmonai made their own menorah. Throughout the generation, whenever the menorah got ruined, or stolen, or whatever, so they made a new menorah. Hashmonai made two menorahs. First made one menorah, then they got rich and they made another menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make a menorah because he had no time. But the Medrash that Rashi quotes says it was Niskasha. You know, it's the same answer that they had seen the menorah before. So they knew what it was supposed to look like so they could make a replica. He never saw a menorah before in his life. In Egypt, they didn't have menorahs. No one had menorahs like that. So the Rabbi Shalom tell him, make a menorah. Kaftorim, Gleim, Afrochim, Hashem, make a menorah. Just some of the words he heard of.
Wasn't the problem with Miksha Achas that it had a
few? They also made Miksha. Later on, they also made mikshon. The days of Bais Rishon, Bais Shem, they also made mikshon. So why couldn't he make it mikshon? So the Brisker Rav explained that if you look in Parshas Truma, you see that there was a Harosh Shoah regarding the menorah, that it was different from Ledoros. Ledoros, he's supposed to make a menorah with Vim, Kaptorim, Afrochim, and Kanim, in such a size and such a weight. And mikshon, Fartik, so you make it, it's okay. You can make the Gvim high or low, as long as you have three Gvim, and so many Kaptorim, and so many Afrochim, and it has this height, this weight, and Fartik, and it's all one piece, it's good. The conditions are satisfied, and the artist is allowed to use his own ingenuity, his own creativity, his own imagination to make it look whatever kind of menorah he wants it to look like. As long as it has the basic requirements, six kanim in the middle one and so on. Here there was as a Hirah Shah, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown on Har Sinai what the menorah should look like. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, G'chol asher ani ma'arah oscho, eis tabnis ha-mishkan, eis tabnis kol keilov. As I've shown you the tmuna, the tavnis of the Mishkan and the Kolei HaMishkan and Har Sinai, the Chaim Tas, so that's how I want you to make it now. This din of tavnis HaMishkan Asher HaReis HaBahar, Kamara Asher HaReis HaBahar, that was only a Hirah Shoah. The Doris, they couldn't have such a din. They weren't there, Har Sinai, they didn't see it. So this Hirah Shoah was that he had. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show him a menorah Shal Zohar? Why did he show him all these things? A menorah Shal Eish? The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah Shal Eish, and he said, you should make it like this tavnis. He showed it to him because he wanted a davka to look like that. Not some to have six kanim and gavim and kaftar and afrochim in such a height and such a weight and so on, and such a size. He wanted davka that marah. See, the Briskov thought that was the pshat there too. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him because it was a din. That was a din of Shoah and some adinim ledoris. That was a din of a Hirah Shoah. That menorah that was made for the Mishkan had to look exactly as the tavnis that he was shown. So that's what the Medrash means to say. Niskasha Moshe b'menorah. He can make a menorah like that, but it would be a replica. It wouldn't be exactly the same. Wouldn't be able to make it exactly. He didn't remember all the details. But he felt it would be impossible, humanly impossible, to make an exact replica. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it. I'll be next. Then the Biskrov explains also, it says by the...
So this wasn't made with the cups and everything else? The one from the Mishkan?
It was. The one from the Mishkan was made with all the cups and everything. The green cup, Tom, the frog, and the whole works.
What was all right?
The Hirah Shoah was that it had to look exactly as the menorah Shalesh that he was shown on Har Sinai. The Doros, as long as you make it from gold and Givim, Kaftan, Prochem, and so on, you have everything required, even though it's in a slightly different shape, or the Givim are higher up, or lower down, or tilted, or sideways, or something, it's also good.
Wasn't each part of the menorah measured the base had to be so much. And
right, but with that also you can make different kinds. Like they asked architects to make shuls. And they pay them an awful lot of money. So they tell them, we want a men's section, women's section, and an Kodesh, we want it should be so tall, and the mechitza should be so tall. Then the architect makes whatever he wants completely different. He has 10 architects and make 10 different surahs of the shul. It'll all be the same thing. You have so many seats in the men's section, women's section, mechitza, and an Kodesh, it'll be a completely different surah. If you just give these basic requirements, just tell me how many gvim, kaftorim, mefrachim, and how tall, you can make 1,000 possibilities. So here there was a Hirosh Shor that has to dapke kamara sheha reisa bahar.
Why is that like the other things? Why the Shosman by the Surah Sal Surah Sal Surah special din of Mara, the Mara, even though it's not what it really is, since it looks like it, what does that mean?
No, here the HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him, not stam to show him what it looks like. He could have described it, Balpen, he could have done it also. No, you showed him because there was a Hirosh Shor that has to look like that.
But this isn't like everything.
No, it's a different purpose why it was shown. But it was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu for halachic purposes, not done for a visual aid in education. Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, why did the Baruch Shalom, that's the question, why did the Baruch Shalom only show him these? If you show the students something so you understand everything better. If you have pictures of Shoshan Alka Chasapar, they have in the new Mishnah, also the kids will understand it better. You show a picture of a boar, also the kids understand it better. So why didn't the Baruch Shalom show him pictures of everything? So the answer is, no, Moshe Rabbeinu had a good head, he could understand everything. He only was shown a tabnis in a mareh when it was significant lahalochas. Well, it was nagia ladina, but there was a din that was where the mareh was relevant.
But how can we say that Hashem would have shown him something if he knew that he would later on be able to accomplish that?
I mean, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command him to make a menorah if it's humanly impossible?
Obviously, he showed it to him, so he should have the idea of exactly how to make it. And then later on, he doesn't make it.
It's a good kasha. That's a difficulty without what I said. Rashi says, his kasha Moshe b'menorah, HaKadosh Baruch made it on his own. So yes, how could HaKadosh Baruch command him to do it if it was humanly impossible? I don't know. With the kasha.
So why do you have to show the Mishkan?
Apparently the Mishkan also, you can make it in different shapes, figures, or so on, with the dimensions that were given. It could have made it also in any architect can use his imagination. Again, if you just give the measurements and have somebody crush it. With the crush, you can still use your imagination.
The fedoras, right? She says.
Yeah.
So if it is the same fedoras, then.
It's not Ladoris, right? The Gemara talks about that. The Chain Tasa Ladoris doesn't go on all these measurements. It just goes on a different point. That just like Moshe Rabbeinu supervised the Asiyas HaMishkan, so to Ladoris you need a Bez Nagodol to supervise the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in the first parak in Shavuos, the first parak in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that that's the Pshat of the Chain Tasa. Doesn't mean the Chain Tasa Ladoris should be made the same measurements. It's not true. Ladoris was not made the same measurements. And then Biskarov has a famous piece. He says the same part by the Levana. It says Hachodesh Hazel Lachem. What do you mean Hazel? If the Gemara insists that the word Hazel always means Hevel Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Hazel means something that you can see. Zekele Vanveyu, Zeh Lakenu. So what does it mean Hachodesh Hazel Lachem this month? In modern Hebrew we use Zeh, not in that technical sense. But the Gemara claims that the word Zeh, when mentioned in the Chumash, means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed something to Moshe. How can you show a month? Chodesh Azalachem. So the Gemara says, no, Chodesh means Chodesh Halavana. And the Rebbeinu Shlom showed Moshe B'Yaharon a tiny sliver of the moon, and he said, Chodesh Azalachem, Rosh Chodoshim. The Pshut Shlom Mikra is that this month should be the first month of the Jewish calendar. This is the Chodesh HaRishon, and here is the Chodesh HaSheni, and you go on. You start counting the months from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Gemara says, that's Pshut Shlom Mikra, but in addition to that, the word Zeh means something that you can demonstrate, something that you can show. So it means HaChodesh Hazeh means this Chidush HaLevana. When you see the Levana that it's so large, then it's time to be the Kaddish HaLevana. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Shear for Kiddush HaLevana. When you see Levana and it's this size, then it's the Shear for Kiddush HaLevana. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash on that Pasuk. So the question is, what is the Shear? The Gemara never gives any Shear. The Shear is when you can see Levana. If it's big enough to see, then if the Yadim saw it, then he can come and testify the soul of it. If it's too small, they didn't see, so there's nothing to testify. So what do you mean? If the Levan is big enough, this size, and the Baruch Shalom showed him, what is that? 1 inch, 2 inches. What? There is no Shear. There is no Shear how much it's visible. So what does it mean? So the Rizkarav explained, no, it's Halacha over here. What's the Halacha? So he showed that this man Hazeh, we don't have any Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah. Years ago, they used to have Kiddush HaChodesh. The Eidim would see the Levana, they would come to Bezin and testify they saw the new moon. And then Bezin would declare that it's Mekudesh HaChodesh, that today is Rosh Chodesh. In the days of Hillel HaSheni, the historians call the days of Hillel HaSheni, that it's in the middle of the days of Avai Barava, who lived in Babel, so their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael was called Hillel HaSheni. He was a great grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, a Rebbe. So this Hillel HaSheni established the calendar that we follow today. So what do you mean he established a calendar? The din is that you have to have Kiddush HaChodesh of Piyariya. The Edom have to come. So the Edom don't come, so we shouldn't have any Rosh HaChodeshim as mine as it. What is it? All the Rosh HaChodeshim and all the Yanim Tovim, everything is only the Rabbanah. The Yom HaTzmut is only with the Rabbanim as mine as it. There's no year. There's no Hanukkah. There's no Purim. There's no Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The only thing that the Rais is Shabbos. All the other Yom Tovim depend on Kiddush HaChodesh. There's no Kiddush HaChodesh as mine as it. So the whole thing is a make-believe. This is the problem that the Rambam and the Rishonim work on. So the Rambam quotes from the Tshuva Sagona that there is a halacha Moshe Sinai. That the man that you have a bezin who is able to function in the Kaddish of Piyariya, so you need Kiddush HaChodesh of Piyariya. Riyah means Riyah is the Riyah Sa'idim. When the Yadim see the Levana, they have Riyah. They come and they tell the bezin, so bezin declares it. That is Moshe Chodesh. This man that there's no bezin that's able to function to make Kiddush of Piyariya, then the halacha Moshe Sinai says that the Rosh HaChodeshim become Nikva Me'alehim. They happen automatically by themselves. And the Moadim become Nikva Me'alehim. And the Shonim Ulboros, which year is going to be a leap year that is going to have an extra month, which year not. Everything is Nikva Me'elev al Pi HaChesh. That's what the Rambam quotes in the name of the Tshuva Sagona. And the Ramban says, he never heard of such a halacha Moshe Sinai. How could it be? It's a deep, dark secret that's never mentioned in the Gemara. What the Gonim discover, a new halacha Moshe Sinai, is not mentioned in the Gemara. How can it be? So the Mephoreshim answer according to the Rambam, yes. The Gemara speaks of the Sod Ho'ibur, the secret of Ibra Hashem. Why was it a secret? So the Rabbeinu Hanan says that they kept it a secret. They didn't want the Goyim to find out about it. And they kept it a secret, and it's never mentioned in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Hanan says, on that Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when the Gemara refers to the Sod Ho'ibur, that it refers to the system of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashem as we have it today, that the Luach happens by itself, that it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. There was man she'i efshe the kaddish of piyariya that the Rosh Hashanah and the Shanah Mubaris become nikka me'alei. That's what the Rambam and the Gaonim say. It's halacha Moshe Sinai.
So the Ibur was given out.
Something like that. I don't know if the cheshbon was given al pi halacha Moshe Sinai or the din was halacha Moshe Sinai. The bizman that you can't be mekaddish of piyariya, then your koveya cheshbon and the cheshbon will cause things to happen on their own. I don't think the cheshbon was halacha Moshe Sinai. But the institution of Rosh HaChodeshim being Nikva al Pi HaChesbon is Halacha Moshe Sinai. That's what the Rambam and the Gaonim claim. The Ramban has a different explanation of how Yom HaTzmut is their Reis Bizman. A different explanation. How can you have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Bizman? How do you have Rosh Chodesh? A different Shabbat. But the Rambam and the Gaonim say that it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. So the question is, Bizman Shekitsh al Pi HaRiya, so the Yadim have to see the moon, so you can't declare it Rosh Chodesh before the Yadim come. So the Yadim can't come before the moon, before it's a while after the Molad Halvana, because you can't see the moon the first second after the Molad Halvana. So it takes a while, the Gemara says how many hours it takes to be able to see the moon afterwards. But Bizman Hazeh, so we make Rosh Chodesh Al Pi HaChesbon, so how long do you have to wait after the Molad Halvana to declare that day as Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh makes a statement, and the Pirush on the side, there's a Pirush on the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh by Ibn Chabib. Side of the Rambam. So he says, even though Bizman Hazeh, the witnesses are not looking for any moon, there's no moon to look for, there's no bezin to accept their edus, but it has to be so long, it's the same as it then used to be, just like years ago when the Edom used to come and testify. They couldn't come and testify before the moon was so big that they could visually see it. So Bizman Hazeh also, the Rosh Chodesh doesn't become Nikva by itself until the moon is so big that if it would have been on Piyariya, they would have been able to be Mekadosh to the Bar. So what kind of a din is that? So the Risk Rav said that's what the Gemara needs to say. That there's a shear in the Levana, that before the shear, before this size of appearance of the Levana, you're not supposed to be Mekadosh the Levana, you're not supposed to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. What do you mean there's a shear? There's no shear. If the Edom can see it, then they'll come. If the Edom don't see, they won't see, so they won't come and say, no, the answer is not Kamina Bizman Hazeh. Even Bizman Hazeh, when no Edom are coming to no Bezin, no one's coming, there's no Bezin, no one's doing anything. And the Rosh HaChodeshim are happening by themselves, but still there is a shear. What is the shear? When the Levana is visible, that's the shear. There is no shear in size. As long as it takes after the Molad Halvana until the Halvana will be visible, that's how long you have to wait Bizman Hazeh before you have a right al pidin to that it should be Nikva Me'elev.
So we're not Nikva Me'elev now, right? Because we say Kiddush Halvana after the Chodesh every time we do a Chodesh. the Adas, we would to do Rosh Chodesh Adar yesterday. So the thing is, so Kirish Levana is starting in 7 days from now.
Kirish Levana has nothing to do with that. Kirish Levana is like Birchas Hashama. No, it's like you see a beautiful mountain, you see a beautiful ocean or something, you see the beautiful things of Teva. When you wake up every morning, you say the brachas, Nasan Safina Hakam Yamavay Loila. Different brachas, you're excited about the nature of the world. The person is supposed to see the moon, is supposed to get all excited that the moon is lighting up the dark night. And there's no moon, so it's dark outside. There is a moon, so it's light outside. It's supposed to, the person is supposed to jump into his phylus by seeing the moon. The problem is, man, is that nobody has any spiders because we have lights on at night. So how can we say the Birchas HaLevana? I don't know. But that's what Kiddush Levana is. It has nothing to do with declaring it as Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh, whether the people say the bracha or not.
The bracha is also on the program of the Levana should be taken away.
That's a tefillah
like
that we recite after the Kiddush Levana. That's a tefillah al-pi kapala, but that's not part of the Kiddush Levana.
According to the Rashi, that says that there was that the sort of evil was Halakha Mishnah Sinai. They kept it hidden until there was a time when it wasn't out of so that means that Hillel Hashem just reinstituted it.
It was never practiced. He didn't reinstitute it. He said, "Mikana lahabo, we're not going to make kiddush achodesh al pi hari anymore."
But he went back to the soul.
And he said that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim should now take effect. I don't know if it means that they had the calculations halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. I don't think it necessarily means that.
And what did they do in Noah's bottle? I mean, how would they? If you're going to say that Hillel instituted it because there was no medicine, right, and it was always a soul stuff, how would they do in Noah's bottle?
The Golas Babel tesis in Sanhedrin puts out Yerushalmi that Yirmiyah and Baruch Ben Eriyah were Mekadosh Kadoshim in Babel. Normally the din is you cannot be Mekadosh Kadoshim outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Yerushalmi says that if the God Lador went to Chutz La'aretz, then the God Lador may do it. That's the Gemara in Brachas also. The Gemara in the end of Brachas says Rabbi Akiva was Lo Hiniach Kamosa Ba'aretz. He was the greatest Talmid Chacham in his generation. He was recognized by all the others as the greatest. So when he went to Chutz La'aretz, he was allowed to be the Kaddish Kadosh. So too, the Yerushalmi says that during the period, the 7 year period of Golas Babel, Yirmiyah, Baruch Ben Neriah, the Kaddish Kadoshim, and Ma'abashanim in Chutz La'aretz, because they were the Manhigi Hador. But during the days of Abai Verovah, during the days of the Amoraim in Babel, they didn't make Kiddush HaChodesh in Babel. The Kiddush HaChodesh is made in Eretz Yisrael, and they sent messages to Babel. Until the middle of the period of the days of Abai Verovah, when Hillel HaSheni established, in Eretz Yisrael, Hillel HaSheni established this Luach. And then from that period on, they always followed the Luach. The Golem don't necessarily mean to say, I don't think they mean to say that the whole Cheshbon is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. What they mean to say is that the institution of Kiddush HaChodesh al pi HaChesbon and the Ibar HaShana al pi HaChesbon, that the institution is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The Cheshbon is most probably been made by Hillel HaSheni.
Yeah. In your question about
the Kiddush HaShana, but the Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to make tefillin, batin, or ritzus, and the ritzus should have a kesher in the back, and what should it be? So he didn't tell him, make a kesher of a dollar. He said, make a kesher that looks like this. It's a din of a tzura. It is. It's a kesher b'tzura dalid. If it were a real dalid, then it would be a kedusha sa'af. Then it would be an osav dalid. No, it's supposed to look like a dalid. It's supposed to look like a dalid. But the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu is that he shouldn't think that it's a real dalid. He should know it's only a kesher in the shape of a dalid. It should look like a
dalid.
Yeah, there's a big napkin. Tosfos is told that if you wear tefillin and the kasher doesn't look like a dalid, then I'll tell you you're eating the mitzvah tefillin. It's kosher. It's only the rabbanon that there has to be a dalid in the yud. According to the Rama Mirashi, it's kosher and not there. It still has to look like a dalid and not there. In fact, there's a big machlokes, the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef, has a big machlokes about the two dalids that we have. Ashkenazim usually have a dalid that looks like a real dalid. Sfarim have a dalid that looks like a square. The Rambam writes, "Kinin ribua." The Rambam writes that the dalid is a square. It's a big shaila. Which one of this Rambam the dalid? Shaila the Beis Yosef quoted by the Magen Avraham has a svara to say that if you make the square, it's not yotze. The square is easier to make than the dalid. It's easier to make, but the Ashkenaz, the minig Ashkenaz, not minig, but the tradition of Ashkenaz is to make a dalid, not a square. The Sephardish tradition is to make a square.
Because Ashkenazim have maybe because they have two dalids.
Two shin on the hand? No, that's only minhagim. That's not
right, it's the same. You have $2 when you have two shin.
No, that's not related. The shadow with the dal is a real question of din. Which is the proper
form? That's only minhagosa. That's not that should be four. Not the dal, that there should be four. I'm saying it should be box.
That's a serious machloikis and din. That's a shadow for your yotze if you have a square.
I'm saying what's the minhag that it should be two? Where they get the thing, there should be two.
The Rambam writes, it should be a square. That's what the Mepharshim said. The Rambam means it should be a square. That's the meaning, that's the Sephard practice. Soloveitchik wasn't convinced that the Rambam meant like that. He thought like the Beis Yosef Sephard, that if you make a square, you're not Yotze B'Yevin. He thought you have to have Dafke Dalet. Either Rambam says Kimin Ribua, so he thought it doesn't mean Ribua. The Rambam means that just like a square, that both sides are equal, or both sides are equal. The Rambam meant to say that the Dalet should be Kimin Ribua, that the top should be the same distance as the side. It shouldn't be that the top should be wider than the side. Most often when you make a dalet on the tefillin, the top is going to be wider than the side. It's hard to make. But the Rambam meant to say that the dalet should be kimin ribua, that the top bar should be the same size as the side bar.
Is this all connected with the Kiddush Levana, having to wait until it would have been able to be Mekudosh Alpiha Re'iya for that shear? Is anything the same as when there's no chance of doing a Minchasa Omer? Machlokis, whether you're able to eat Chodesh, start from the beginning of the day, or you have to wait until there would have been Makar with the Perkin
Olam? No, I don't think so. Gemara says there, Menachis, and Perkin Vishma, that's a Machlokis Hatanoim. How do you read the Pesuk? Ad Etzma Yom Azeh, Ad Itzu Moshol Yom. The two Pesuk, Ad Etzma Yom Azeh, Ad Av Yachum Zer Machtulta. So Gemara says, if you bring the Omer, it's Ad Av Yachum Zer Machtulta. If there's no Omer, then it's Ad Etzma Yom Azeh. The same Pesuk, the two halves of the Pesuk. So what does it mean? Adi tzumushal yom. Tzumushal means the daytime of the day. Adi ad bechalal or ad beloy ad bechalal. That's a different machlokes. But the adi tzumushal yom means till the beginning of the 16th day of Nisan, the Chodesh is also, then it becomes muta the morning, Hanetzachan of the 16th. So no, adi ad bechalal till the end of the day. Till Tzeisak Kechavim of the 16th of Nisan. It's a different shot. And here it's a different thing that there is a shear that before that shear, you cannot be mikados to levana. So this man she kitchal piyariya varana. The Adam won't see the levana. So it's not significant then. But the shear is relevant for us. This man hazeh, we cannot be kaveya. Reshchayish apia cheshvim. This man hazeh, before the levana is nearest, that shear that would have been able to, before the levana appears, to the extent that people would be able to see. And that's what Avalva levana. In all the cases that the Gemara says that Heralach Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, the Baruch Shem showed something to Moshe Rabbeinu. Most of them are based on the word Zeh. Zeh means that he demonstrated Kadosh Elohim, and so on. In every case, it was to indicate a din. The Gemara has another. The same Gemara has another one also by the Zeh Yitnu Kol Oyver Alap Kudin. Parshas Tisisa. So it means Herodot Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Matbeah Shaleish, and he said that everybody should give Matzah Shekel. Why did he show him the Matbeah Shaleish? So perhaps there is also a din of Mara. I don't know. Perhaps the Gemara says in Choyres that there are three cases where you don't say Shava Kesef Kikesef. We call it Harukula Dina Shava Kesef Kikesef. The three exceptions. One is when you make Pinyin Maisa Sheni, you need Kesef Shiei Sholof Tzura. That's a Din Derais. Then Gemara says another Din that's clearly a Din Derabbanon, that when you buy a Korban Rion Pesach Shavuot Sukkis, you have to buy it with Kish. If you buy with Shava Kesef, it's no good. That's clearly a Din Derabbanon. Rashi quotes Yerushalmi, gives the whole reason why. And then there's a third din in the Braisa that's unclear whether it's a din deraisa, din derabbanan. The third din is when you give matzah shekel, you have to give dafke kesh, and you're not yotze the din deraisa, you're not yotze to give shavu kesef. So that doesn't say whether that's a din deraisa, din derabbanan. So it could be that that's what the Medrash says, that herod hakadosh baruch hu lemoshe the matbeah shaleish, that it should be a kesef shei shalom tzura. Maybe that's the din, just like by maisa sheni. The pidi maisa sheni purposes, you have to have kesef shei shalom tzura. Has to be a matbeah with some kind of a form, some kind of a picture. And it's a perhaps when you get to Maksa Shekel also, there's a real din deraisa, there has to be a case of Shei Shalom. Anyway, that's the Briskerov's Pesach famous work. He said that when the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed all these things to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not that he showed it to him for purposes of educational purposes, that he should understand better. No, then he would have showed him Kol HaTorah Kulo also. He showed it because here, the Mareh, the Tzura that it has, he had to be shown the tzura. Had to be shown the tzura because the tzura plays a role in the halach. What it looks like is a significant halach. Part of this is in the sefer on Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. And the sefer on Chumash has about Kiddush HaChodesh. and about tefillin is also in the sefer on hilchos tefillin. That's on the Rambam. And the shrutzim that I heard about there, I don't know if that's in there.
When Hashem showed Moshe the Kesher when he was wearing the tefillin, what? In other words, was there a what?
He's
on the actual in the body. What was it? How did he show him? On what?
Showed him that vision. Showed him a vision representing himself, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were wearing tefillin. That's what the Rashba quotes the Rav Haigon on that Gemara. The Minalo, the Gemara says on one daf after the other, the Gemara has Minalo, one is on daf Zayin, I think one is on daf Ches. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, Shenema, and the Gemara quotes some kind of a apostle? So the Rav Haigon quoted by the Rashba says, what do you mean the Rabbanu Shalom wears tefillin every day? What? Every morning wears tefillin? He says, no, how do you know that on one occasion the Rabbanu Shalom put on tefillin? When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he put on the tefillin to show him the Kesher Shel Tefillin.
This
refers to that one case.
The Maris Chai says that that's not to be taken literally.
Yeah.
Well, not at all. I mean, not even, he said it doesn't mean that Hashem cares for Bnei Yisrael.
That's the regular pshat in the Gemara. Baruch Shalom always wears tefillin in the sense that he always cares for Bnei Yisrael. But the Rav Haigon, quoted by the Rashba, says no. The Gemara doesn't mean that he always wears tefillin. It means that on only one occasion he made believe. He made a vision of himself wearing tefillin. Only on that one occasion that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. Okay, let's see a little more here.
One of the reasons why today. And they were not permitted to be buried on Izama, not Nizgayat, except for special rare occasions, like on Yom Kippur. And there's an Easter. You're not allowed to do anything else on the Mizbeh HaPur. Yet there's a special Avantura, other than the Matka the Torah and the Zurich Izama, the Kabbonah on Yom Kippur. And the Mizbeh HaChitzon was not in the Hecha, but rather in the Azor. That was for the purpose of being Makri of all the Kabbonah. The Gemara points out in several places in Zochon that there was a major difference between the Mizbeach HaKtim and the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Mizbeach HaChitzon was hollow, it was made of nechoshes and it was hollow and it was filled in with offer. So because it was filled in with offer, it was mechubal lekarka, and it was considered karka domi. Mechubal lekarka, karka domi. It had been like a binyan. It was considered part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem came to Mizbeach HaPnimi, was not filled, it was not hollowed out and filled in with offer, and it was a kli. Like the Shulchan was a kli, the menorah was a kli, they were sitting on the ground, so too the Mizbech HaPnimi was a kli. They didn't have the din of binyan because it wasn't Mechubal LeKarkar HaHalacha kli. It was a kli shor, like the other kli shor. What is an afkamina ledin between Mizbech HaPnimi and Mizbech HaChitzon by virtue of the fact that because of this point that the Mizbech HaChitzon was Mechubal LeKarkar, the Mula Ba'ofa Mechubal LeKarkar had a din of binyan, whereas the Mizbech HaPnimi was had a din of a kli. So the Gemara has several dinim that are given to this. One is, and the Chumash gives you the shiurim regarding how big every kli was. The Mishkan was 30 amos long, and 10 amos wide, and 10 amos tall, and so on. And the Mizbeach, and the Menorah, and the various kelim were so many amos, and so many amos vachetzi, long and tall and wide, and so on. So the Gemara has in the end of Menachas, and Achlekes HaTanoim, regarding the shear of Amo, normally an Amo is Bas Shisha Tochim. You have six Tochim in an Amo. So one town is of the opinion, Mo has at the end of an office like that, Mo at the beginning of Sukkah, hey, as it's Machlek Sos, Machlek Sos, Mayor of Yudah. One town is of the opinion that the Midos of the Kalim are different from the Midos of the Binyan. That the Midos of the Binyan are the Amo Bas Bav Tochim. An Amo of six Tochim, that's a normal Amo. That's when it gets to most Shiurei Torah, you speak of an Amo of six Tzachim, and also when it gets to the Amos of the Mishkan itself, of the Binyan of the Mishkan, Hashemkin, the Amos of the Kalim, those were Bama Bas Chomish Tzachim. In Gansan, a different sheep, much shorter Amo. So one Tana is of the opinion that the Mizbeach HaPnimi, when the Torah gives you the Shiurim for the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's a Kli. It's only Kli when you speak of an Amo, the Amo is Bas Chomish Tzachim. Hashemkin, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, which was part of the Binyan because it was hollowed out, and was memula ba'ofa, mechubal lekarka, that would be a kibinyan. So therefore, it was measured with an amah ba'shisha tov. That's the opinion, I think, of Rav Meir, the Mishnah, the Yenim, and all. The Gemara has another nafkamina ledina between the two. when you get to the din of Shechitas HaKarbonos Pesach Ol Moed, there is a din that in the beginning of Vayikra that you have to shech the Karbonos or Shechat HaPesach Ol Moed. So the Gemara says that if you shech the Karbon Shlom Mizman, that the Pesach Ol Moed, the opening for Ol Moed is closed before Pesichas Dazos HaHecho. So the Gemara says that the Karbon Shlom is partial. Places claims that it's not only by Shlom, it's by all Karbonos. That's on the third daf in Erevin. Places has that discussion. But if that din only applies to Shlom, Shlamim sheshchatim karim sichas dal sahecha. The Tzitzis claims that it applies to all karbonos, is not limited to the Shlamim. The Sfasemis claims that the Rambam disagrees, he holds only the Shlamim is possible to have it, and all other karbonos are the din l'chatchila. The Tzitzis says that it's a universal din of all karbonos. You cannot be makar of any karbonos on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, cannot shecht any karbonos, or makar of any karbonos on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, if you haven't opened up the psichas dal sahecha, the gates to the Hechel, have it wrong. The Hechel is in front of the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Kodesh HaKadosh is in the end of the Hechel. The Hechel is the, where the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if you have opened up the Daos HaHechel, but you have a portable Mechitza? Like in a lot of shuls have a portable Mechitza. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if the Daos HaHechel were open, but the portable Mechitza is standing there as a partition separating the Hechel and the Azor, and somebody shechts a carbon shlomim in the Azor, and although the Hechel is open, can you call it Pesach Ol Moed? Can you call it Ol Moed Pasur Hana? On the one hand, the gates of the Hechel that are attached to the Hechel, that are supposed to lock up the Hechel, those are open, but on the other hand, the Hechel is closed because you have this partition. So that's a suffix in the Imam. So the Rishonim make it clear, however, that when it should be. Let's say this would be the Hechel, the Kodesh HaKadosh is over here, and the Hechel is over here. So the Gemara has this, if the Daos HaHechel, which are attached to the walls of the Hechel, are closed, and you shef the Shlomim over here, or over here, this is Tzofen. So all Kodesh HaKadosh, we have to shef them Tzofen over here. But Shlomim is a Kodesh HaKalim, so Kodesh HaKalim can shef them Dor Mosef, shef them even in this side, the Dor. So if the Daos HaHechel are closed, it's possible even the Yevi. Not closed, but you have a partitions over here. So when you shech the shlomim over here, or over here, it's not really a pnei hahechel because of that partition that's blocking the way. Only the partition over here, you'll have a shayin, whether it's kosher or not. So that's an ibay in the Gemara. So the question is, well, where do you have the mizbeach? There's three different shittas in Tanan where the mizbeach is. Let's say the mizbeach is over here. A shayin whether the mizbeach is right in that center or to the right or left. Let's say the mizbeach is over here. And somebody shech the carbon over here, a carbon shlomim. The carbon kachikachim, you have to shech them itself, and it's supposed to shech on this side. Let's say it's a shlomim. Somebody shech the shlomim over here. So would anybody say that the shlomim is possible because the mizbeach is blocking the way? The mizbeach is very tall. It's much taller than the height of a human being. The mizbeach was 9 amas tall. And then you had on the carcass of the mizbeach a big block in the corner, amo al amo al amo. So the whole mizbeach itself, which was 32 amas wide, on top it was 28 amas, the bottom is 32, then it's 30, then it's 28 on top. 28 amas wide and 10 amas tall. It's like a big building. So what if you shech the carbon shlomim over here? So you say that it's no good. And now he's out. So all the Rishonim say for sure that it is good. The question is why? How come it's good? The Gemara has this focus that not only did Daos HaHechel block the way, Daos HaHechel which are supposed to be closing the Hechel, even if they are open, but you have a partition over here, a portable mechitza in the way. So the Gemara still has a socket to say that was, that that it's no good, that you can't shech the carbonos. So why not say that, in other words, any zaytik is up, blocking the way, is a chisorin of psichas dal sahecha, because it has to be pesach al-moy, the man shal al-moy pasur, you have to shech the carbons facing al-moy. When you shech the shlomim over here, behind the mizbech, anywhere over here, so say the whole mizbech is blocking the way. So this for sure is good, the question is why. So the panim here is, Gemara is vachim, Chavetz Chaim Zohan al-Rach put out a sefer that he called Asifas Kain. Asifas Kain is officially the title of the Sheet Mekubetzim. No, we have a Sheet Mekubetzim, Baba Kama, Baba Tzir, Baba Basra, and Ksubit. So the real title of the Sefer, when it was put out by the author, by the one, not an author, by the one who collected it, by Rabbi Tzal Ashkenaz, the proper title is Asifas Kain. It's a collection of various sheets. So the Chavetz Chaim put out a Sefer on Kochim that's called Asifas Kain, also a collection. It was printed together. The Panameiris and the Chayk Nasa and the Chedushe Rajbuan and the Merachis and a few other Racharins, the same Racharins that he has there. And, so you have a few Achronim, one or two Rishonim, they've blended in. So in this collection, in the Asivus Kalim, he printed upon the Yerut HaGasam. It's a separate sentence, it's available in all six forms. So they have in the front of the Yerut, he gives the parrots over here. He says there's a difference. He says, see, the Mizbeach HaChitzon is attached to the ground. So that's part of the dinyan of the Mikdash. That's the end there. So you can't say that that's mapstik between the Shechitas Shlomim and the Hechel over here. The walls of the Hechel, if they're closed, are supposed to be open. If you have a V-long mapstik, let's say you have a curtain there, that's also, the Gemara says, is no good. The Gemara says, okay, if you have a V-long, the Gemara says, if you have a curtain, it is good. The Gemara just says, if it's a solid partition, then it's an Ibai in the Gemara. But if it's a V-long, it's just a curtain, then the Gemara says, but it is good. A V-long is not considered blocking the way. So the Gemara only had a suffix if you have a partition which is Tolish Menakaraka, which doesn't belong there, and it's Tolish Menakaraka. So the Gemara has a suffix, maybe that's Mapsit Nuret. But over here, the part of the Iris is Mazvah, this is considered as if the ground level just goes up. It's not considered that that's an outside obstacle or an outside Dover HaMapsit between the Shechitas HaShlamim and the Pesach HaMoed. It's not an outside thing, it's Mamash Mechubah HaKaraka, it's not Tolish. And he refers you to that Gemara, where the Gemara makes a distinction between the Mizbeach HaChitzon and the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that the Mizbeach HaPnimi was had a din kli because of the Tolish Min HaKarka, and the Mizbeach HaChitzon was Mechubah HaKarka, so it had a din at Bini. There are more Nachkeminis in the Gemara.
Aren't the Dalsos and Hefel also Mechubah
HaKarka
part of the
Bini?
Why
did it say that? Yeah, but it's not considered part of it. It's not considered part of the floor. This is considered mamish as if the floor level went up higher.
So if you move the partition to the ground, then it would be definitely a mamish partition. I mean, wouldn't
it be mamish? Could not. And it might also be mamish because it doesn't belong there. You can't say that it's considered that the ground level rises. But over here, this belongs here. This is supposed to be here. It's supposed to be here and it's mechubah l'karka, so therefore it's considered as if it's part of the binyan itself. So it's not an obstacle. Can't say it's an obstacle sticking in between, being mafsik in between the shechitas hashlamim and the pesach ha'amar. We have another interesting din, the Gemara has a din. What if a person wants to be makir of a korban in Beis HaMikdash? And his name is Be'ech HaChitza. They can't have you makir of the korbanos or not. So the Gemara says, no, you have to have a mizbeach. Even if you have a mizbeach and it's nivgam ha-mizbeach, Nivgam HaMizbeach means, let's say, it's chipped over here, it's chipped in the middle, then the Mizbeach has to be Merubah, it has to be a perfect square on the corner. Not only in the corners, it has to be a right angle, 90 degree angle, the Gemara says the sides have to be straight. And if it's Chayim and Hilchas Tefillin, and Mishneh Berurah derives Klolim about when is the Tefillin not called Merubah, so he wants to make Klolim there, Shiurim, based on what the Ribu of the Mizbeach has to be. The Gemara has a Chulin, in the second paragraph of Chulin, how much of a Nick you have to have in the Mizbeach that it should not no longer be called the Mizbeach HaMerubah. How much of it should be after? One Madom says a Kezayitz, the size of the Kezayitz. Another Madom says even a Mashur, Kechagiros Etzba, Kechagiros Tziporin. If the finger gets caught, so the fingernail gets caught in the thing, so it's already not called Merubah. So the Gemara says that you cannot be Makar of Korbanos just on the Makom HaMizbeach. You have to be Makar of Korbanos on the actual Mizbeach Mamash. And even if you have the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach is Nivgam, so you cannot be Makar of Korbanos on Mizbeach and Nivgam. What if we have the Ketoros and the Mizbeach HaPnimi? So there the Gemara says it's not so. That the Mizbeach HaKtoros, and Nech Adim Komo, let's say some wise guy removed the Mizbeach HaKtoros from the Hechel. Mizbeach HaKtoros is supposed to be in Hechel over here. And the menorah is over here, on the dome side, and the shulchan is over here, on the shulchan side. Shulchan has the lechem aponim on it, and the menorah they light the candles every evening. And there's be'acha torahs, they mark the torahs every day, twice a day, in the morning and the evening. So what happens if this mizbeach was removed, they put it over here, can you be marked the torahs from komos? We would have said no. Just like you cannot be marked the torahs, just like you cannot be marked with any kabbalahs on the mokom and mizbeach outside. You have to adopt the mizbeach bonad in common, has to be merubah with all the chlorum, everything that's marked. So too mibishnit. So the Gemara in the middle of the Zvachim says a chidush. Mizbeach shenekom in common, maptim ktorum is in common. But you can't be marked with the torahs on the mokom and mizbeach. So Makrish says it's not miyakir. The fact that the mizbeach is not here is not miyakir. So that's a chidush. The question is why? So the question is different types. So Tesis claims that what the Gemara means to say is that there's a distinction between korbanos of behemoth and ophis on the one hand, as opposed to korbanos of a mincha and a ktoras. That for a daim and an ol, there you have to have a mizbeach mamish. So you cannot be makriv on the mokum of mizbeach. In any case, in office, which normally you're makriv on the mizbeach hachitzon, you would be able to be makriv outside, even though there's no mizbeach in koma. You say, kitcha l'shai for the kitcha l'osi lava. That square area of the azara has more of a kedusha than the rest of the azara, has a kedusha mokum on mizbeach. And if you make a fire on the floor of the azara, this spot where the mizbeach hachitzon is supposed to be located, because he says you wouldn't be able to be makri, opos, or behemoth, but you wouldn't be able to be makri, minoko. Because the Gemara says, Mizbeach ha-pnimi shen nekar b'mikomo makthir and k'toros b'mikomo, you can be makri the k'toros on the makon on Mizbeach ha-pnimi, it's long past the k'toros who are doing minokas. Minokas on the outside of Mizbeach and k'toros on the inside of Mizbeach. The only time that you need actual Mizbeach is for oifis and behemoth, and k'toros and minokas just need the makon on Mizbeach. You can be makthir on the floor. The Sfasemis disagrees with the Tosis. The Tosis appears in a few places. Yuma, Rahman, and other places. The Sfasemis and the Chidushim disagrees with the Tosis, and he thinks that it's not correct, but it's not that you draw a distinction between the Emes and Isis on the one hand, as opposed to Menachas and Ktoris on the other hand. He thinks that Ktoris is different. Why should Ktoris be different? Ktoris doesn't have to have a Haktor al-Gavi Emesbeah. Menachas are really the same Hittainas as Behemoth and Oifus. And the only one exception to the rule is Ktoris, because how did the Gemara know that Ktoris is an exception to the rule? So he says Asvar, because on Yom Kippurim, the Kengodol takes Ktoris and he's Makhtil at night with him. He takes him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So where is he Makhtil there? He doesn't move any Mizbeach with him. He doesn't have a portal on Mizbeach. Just leaves it in the tent, in the Makhto. Lokach Malah Makhto Gachol Yesh. And he takes the Ktoris from the Kaf, and he takes in the Kaf and the Machta inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he pours the Ktoris from the Kaf back into his hands. He has to take a loch of Ktoris on. He has to take a loch of nine. He digs his hands into a big bowl of Ktoris, and he takes a fistful. And it depends how big his fists are. The Gemara says if he's a giant, he's going to have a bigger loch of nine. And if he's a midget, he's going to have a smaller shear loch of nine. Mishnah says that this is one of the shear that depends on each and every individual person. Like Maloy Lugma for Yom Kippurim depends on how big the guy's mouth is. And there are a few other shiurim, basically most of the shiurim depend on average. One of the shiurim that's measured by the individual kohen. If the kengodol has gigantic hands, then Melech Hoffman is more. If he has smaller hands, then it's lesser. Oh, you mean if his hands are much larger in proportion to the rest of his body? Okay, that would be a balmo. But let's say the guy is just a giant. A giant is not a balmo. So the mission says that on Yom Kippur, it says Nachumish on Yom Kippur, he has to take Melech Hoffman Ktoris on the doctor, then he puts it into a calf, and he walks into the Kodesh Kodashim with a calf that has the Ktoris with the amount of Melech Hoffman that he just measured out in his own hand, and he walks in with the Machta that has Lom Machta Gachli Yesh Melech Mizbeach, Hashem Lech Mehashem, he takes it from the Mizbeach HaKitzah, and then he takes the calf and the Machta into the Kodesh Kodashim, he pours from the calf back into his hand, pours the Ktoris back into his hand, and he puts the Machta on the floor. It's very hard to do this. The Gemara says that this is one of the most difficult things that they did all year long, because he only has two hands. He only has two hands, and he has to carry the calf and the Machta, and then he has to pour back from the calf into his hands. It's very difficult. So he pours back with two hands. He holds the calf, and he pours back the calf back into his two hands. How do you do that? The Mishnah says, the Gemara says he holds it in his teeth. That's a complicated mess. So the Kengodol pours back all the Ktoris from the calf back into his fist. And it has a loch off from the first time in the dark, and then he pours on the top of the machta, which is sitting on the floor. So the machta is not in his bed. It's neither in his bed hachitz, nor in his bed hachitz. So how can the Torah have a din of haktorah? Shaloi al-gabi on his bed. So bal korchach, the hechreach, you see that there's a din of haktorah's ktorah, shaloi al-gabi on his bed. So the Sfasemis says he thinks that that was the mocker of the Gemara. How the Gemara knew that haktorah's haktorah need not necessarily be al-gabi in his bed. You can have haktorah b'mokom. The mokom haroi. Where's the mokom haroi? So I am keeping the mokom haroi is the Mokum Bein Abadim. The Fnai V'Lefnin, Bein Abadim over here. Because the Oro used to be over here, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Abadim were on the sides of the Oro, and he would put the Machta on the floor, right over here.
So there would be a haktar b'makom bein abadim. But even in Bayis Sheni, where the world, the Oren was nigna as if Yeshua Melech was going to be on the end of the Bayis Rishon. So Bayis Sheni, there was no Oren to speak of. The Oren was in the basement, wherever it was, in Bavel, in the basement, different opinions in Tanakh, where the Oren was in. But the Maisha, there was no Oren on top. In the Kodesh HaKadosh, in Bayis Sheni, there was no Oren. So how would they mock their Torah as bein abadim? So the answer, the Brisker Rav said, the answer is the Kitchel HaShayit and the Kitchel HaSi Lavoi. Even though there are no badim there, that's all still called bein abadim. That makom is called bein abadim. So just like you say there, that you can be marked there bim komo, even though there's no mizbeach at all. And even this man by sheni, there wasn't even bein abadim. So you say no, kitchel shayt to be kitchel lost in love. But since it once had the status of that makom, you can be marked there bim komo, bim makom haroilo. So here too, if they, on the normal ktoros of every day, not the ktoros of Yom Kippur, if they removed the mizbeach hapnimi from its spot, that makom is kitchen l'shayit and kitchen l'asalav, even if the mizbeach hapnimi is removed. So since it's the right makom, and we know that a haktoros does not serve and have to be dafki agavi mizbeach, all right, if you want to keep Yom Kippurim again, it's on top of a machto. So here there's no halacha that you need a machto, here the halacha is that you just need a makom on mizbeach. The hapchili needs should be agavi on mizbeach, but for the yevid, the mizbeach is not miyam. That's what the Sfasema says. It disagrees with Tosfos. Tosfos says that the Gemara says, Maktir and Ktoris bin Komo, the Mokom of Mizbeach is loved up Ktoris, and the Mokom of the Mizbeach HaPnimi is even Kincho, and the Mokom of the Mizbeach HaChis. And the Sfasema says, no, you can say it's only Ktoris. But Lamai, then, is you can say a third shot in the Gemara, and Gantz in a third shot. That the Gemara doesn't mean to say that Ktoris is different, like the Sfasema says, nor does the Gemara mean to say that it's a difference between Ktoris and the Mokom on the one hand, as opposed to Oifus and Behemoth on the other hand. Perhaps the Gemara means a third shot. It's a chilek, that's how some other Rishonim say. I think the Sheet in Kubetz is on the side, as Rav said. A third shot, that the distinction is one between the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Mizbeach HaChitzon. It's a different word. The Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is a kli, it's not Mechubel HaKarka, it's a kli. So if you remove it, so the karka is there. So you say, that Mokom, Agabi HaKarka, is Kitchel HaShat and Kitchel HaSlova, that is the Mokom HaMizbeach. But the Mizbeach HaChitzon is not a kli, the Mizbeach HaChitzon is Mechubel HaKarka. But since it's Mechubel HaKarka, that means that the ground level is supposed to be higher over there. So what happens if instead of having the ground level so high, 9 amas higher than the floor, than the rest of the floor, instead of having it so high, it will be lower. So you can't say kitchel shayt to the kitchel floor. That's not the floor. That's not the makom hamizbeach. Makom hamizbeach is on top of the mizbeach. Why? Because this mizbeach hachitzon is supposed to be mechubel karka. The ground level is supposed to have a sudden jump over here. It's supposed to have a sudden elevation, and it should be 9 amas taller than the rest of the floor. Here the floor is supposed to be. This is mechubel karka kikarka domis. That's a new floor level over here. New ground level. As we were discussing in the Yonim Haber. Maybe that could be the Teret. That's what other Rishonim said. Maybe that's the Pshat in the Gemara. That the Mizbeach HaPnimi as opposed to the Mizbeach HaChitzon is a Kli as opposed to a Binyan. So that's why the Gemara draws this distinction that if you don't have the Mizbeach HaPnimi there, alright, so you don't have the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you should have the Haktor HaGavya Mizbeach, but for the Yevit you can have it. Al Karka HaMizbeach, Al Mokom HaMizbeach, Al Sheni Ken Mizbeach HaChitzon. If the Mizbeach is not there and you just have the floor where the Mizbeach of 9 amas should be on top of, that's not the Karka Mizbeach. Karka Mizbeach is supposed to be on top of the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach is Mechubel HaKarka, Karka Domi. So the floor of the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be 9 amas taller there.
I think we'd have to be the opposite. When you have a Kli, then the idea of the Kli is not here. Who cares where the Kli is? I mean, you can be within the general vicinity of the area, and the Kli is the main place.
Maybe you can say that the Kli is not case.
The opposite, and the outside where you have the floor is
good,
it's actually the floor, at least. So what, the floor is higher than the lower, so the floor is there.
It's a good tainah, but this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that for the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it's no good even if it's not merubah. Even if the Mizbeach is there, it's not merubah, you can't be makar b'ni kavod. The Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Gemara says, even if it's nekar, it's removed, makpir kar has been called. So the Gemara gives you the din. So the question is, how do you distinguish? No, the question is, how do you distinguish? How do you explain the Dinam of the Gemara? So there are three explanations given by the Mefarshim. The Tosfos gives the Pshat, that is the distinction between Ktoris and Menachos on the one hand, as opposed to Oifus Mehemus on the other. And the Sfasem explains that Ktoris is different, not Ktoris. Menachos is the same as Behema and Oif. And the Sheet in Kubetz is given the third chiluk. But the chiluk is in Mizbeach HaPnimi. I mean, if you would have been there, you would have said just
have
a reverse.
The first two.
Oh, the first two? Okay. These are the 3 days at the Rishon. The Ramban in Avodah Zarah on Daf Nun Beis gives the fourth distinction. In speaking about a chiluk between what's called binyan and what's called kli, he gives you a fourth distinction. What happens if somebody's moel behegdish?
So normally the din is when somebody's moil the hegdish, the hegdish is nenim and the hegdish b'shevi. So the din is that the mechuyev to take time with them is yoshan, and the din is that the hegdish is yotzei lechul. How do you know the hegdish is yotzei lechul? Because the pasuk says nefesh kisim el mal, and moal ein meila el shinui. The Gemara says the word meila means to change, to switch, and it switches from kodesh to chol. How do you know that ein meila el shinui? Because the pasuk says by a soto moal amal b'yishon. The Gemara says, what does it mean, molama b'isha? That she switches, she trades in a husband for somebody else. So just like there, it means to be mishana. So it's over here by hegdish, it means to be mishana. What are you being mishana? You mishana the kodesh in techo. That's the Gemara in the Ilah. That's the Gemara. The Gemara derives from that pasuk. Yisim omal in Vayikra. Okay, Parshas Vayikra. The Gemara derives from that pasuk that amol behegdish is yetzim chua. However, the Gemara of the Mishnah says in Ilah, that there are two things, there are two cases of Mila where the hegdish is not yetzim chua. There's a big place, those who don't, there's a big place in Kiddushin Daphim Hei about this. So the place is quoted and we elaborate on this. So the Mishnah says in the Ilah, Daphim Hei, that there are two exceptions to the rule, where one is moral behemoth and it's not yet to the namely, if you're moral in Klisharis, or you're moral in a behemoth that has a behemoth. Whenever the behemoth. One is moral in a behemoth, it has a Kiddushin Tagur, a korban, let's say, a korban chapit, a korban asham, a korban olah. So one is moral behemoth. Normally the hegdish is yetzer l'chul and I didn't mean it. Here the Gemara says if you're more than a carbon behemoth or a carbon ha'ari, so the din is that it's not yetzer l'chul because it has a kedushas ha'guf, and if kedushas ha'guf whenever cannot be yetzer l'chul and I didn't pidyon, it can also not be yetzer l'chul and I didn't mean it. The Gemara says that it's probably said to them. So the Mishnah says, ein moel ha'moel, once one person is moel behegdish, so the hegdish was ready yetzer l'chul. So if somebody will be moel the second time in the hegdish, there will be no violation of Mila because it's ready chulin, the hegdish is ready yetzim chulin. But the two exceptions are behema or klisharis bovai. Behema that has a kedushas haguf, so it's not yetzim chulin ide pidyon. So just like you cannot have any pidyon who are dinami, it cannot be yetzim chulin ide mila. Because the yitzil chulin ide mila is a form of pidyon. That's what the Dvar Avram explains. And one of his truths, he says that normally when you pay the hegdish, so when you give the money to the gizboy, then the hegdish yetzim chulin. Let's say the gizboy has a helagis fasemis. As a kedusha, kedusha says kedusha. I want to buy from him, so I give him the money. So it's not kesef the kamba. When you give the money, then it's yotzei l'chul. The Gemara learns that in the pasuk. Ain't pidyon hegdish ela b'kesef, because it says v'nas not kesef the kamba. So when you give the money, it's yotzei l'chul. But I'm moyel behegdish. Let's say he had his hegdish as his fasemis, and I didn't know that it belonged to hegdish. I thought it belonged to somebody else. And I walk off with the sefer. I decide to steal it, not realizing that it belonged to hegdish. So then the Gemara says that it's yotzei l'chul. The fact that I was moyel behegdish causes it to be yotzei l'chul. How is it yotzei l'chul? So the Sfasemis says this is also a din of pidyon. Even though I haven't given the money, because the Torah is mechayiv me to pay keren v'chaymish. So the fact that I'm a chuyiv, the din of Torah, I'm a chuyiv to pay the keren, that itself is equivalent to the case where the person actually gave the keren. Because this explains Galocha. So that's why the Mishnah says that by behemoth klisharis, where it cannot be yotzei l'chul and ayde pidyon, it can also not be yotzei l'chul and ayde meila, because meila is motzi l'chul and gzeiras hakasav nefesh kisim al mal, and meila el v'shinui, then being moral behegdish is motzi l'chul. It's only motzi l'chul in the case when I'm chuyif to pay the keren, and a chomish, so the payment, the chiyif to pay keren chomish is considered as if I had paid it already. And the payment is yotzei l'chul and ayde pidyon, that's a form of pidyon. So that's why the Mishnah and the Gemara and Mila have this equation. There are only such things as yotzei l'chulin, which one could be poda. Whatever you cannot be poda, then the behemah klisharis cannot be yotzei l'chulin like the Mila. So the Baal HaMor has a discussion in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis, and it's Kufas Ba'isheni, when the Chashmonaim came in, so the Gemara said they had to make a new menorah and they had to make also a new mizbeach. So the Baal HaMor discussed, why did they have to make a new mizbeach? What was wrong with the first mizbeach? So the Baal HaMor says, well, they were moyel behegdish. The Jews, the Misyavnim, the Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah, were moel behegdish on the Mizbeach, and thereby, whenever you moel behegdish for the Mizbeach, it would be yotzei l'chulin. So since it was yotzei l'chulin, so they had to make a... And then once it's yotzei l'chulin, then they use it for Avodah Zarah purposes, so then the din is, whatever is Tashmish Avodah Zarah, Ar-Mos Adavish Yushalot, then it became us. That's how the Baal HaMor. And the Ramban disagrees with the Baal HaMor, and he says, how can you say that? Isn't the Mizbeach a din of Klisharis? How can a Klisharis be Yotzei L'chul? So actually, we should really distinguish between the two Mizbeachas. One Mizbeach was a Klisharis, and one Mizbeach was a Binyan. The Mizbeach HaPnimi had a status of Klisharis. And Klisharis, the Mishnah says in the Ilan, the Afites, has the same status as Klisharis, that it's not Yotzei L'chulin, Aida Pigyam, so therefore it's also not Yotzei Bechulin Aida Meila. Hashem came to Mizbech Achitzon, that never had a din of Klishar, that was Mulav Ba'ofar, Mechuba Lekarka, so that had a din of Binyan. So Binyan, there's no halacha that if you moil the Hegdash of the Binyan, it's not Yotzei Bechulin Aida Meila. Why not? That Mechor could be Yotzei Bechulin Aida Meila. The only thing that the Ramban is right.
Maybe that makes it a Ramban anyway.
Okay, it could be a different time. Why they had
a different opinion.
Right, the question is, why did they have to make a new Mizbeah? What was wrong with the old Mizbeah? So the Balmor claims, you can say it's a different thing. Whenever you use it for Abed Zohar, even though it doesn't belong to you, even though the Kalal is Ein on the Moshe Dov Hashem Shalom, but perhaps, even though you can't ask it, that's only Lehegyot, but Lagavoa, it's still Mos. The Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash that is used for Avodah Zarah purposes, even though it wouldn't become Asa Ba'anor based on the principle of Ein Ono Mos Dov Sheni Shelo, you can say it's still possible Lahakrova purpose, because it's Mos Lagavoa, sure. Still say that it's Mos, that's a different time, right? But the Baal HaMor says that it was Yotzei Bechulin Aida Meila, that the Ramban disputes, and he says, how can it be Yotzei Bechulin Aida Meila if it's a Klishoris? That is the Mefarshim explain. What is a Klishoris? The Mizbeach HaPnim is a Klishoris, the Mizbeach HaChitzon is not a Klishoris. If it's a kli, it can't be mechubal karka. That's a part of the sasra. A kli has to be a dava hamital.
Which one
do
they build?
The Gemara says the outside one, not the inside. The Gemara says they had to make a new outside mizbeach all over again, not the inside.
Yeah.
The Gemara says the first. The outside mizbeach had to be replaced and do it all over again. This week is Pasha Zohar. What does it say about Pasha Zohar? We don't know. Father says to Shulchan Aruch that even the people who normally don't go to shul all year long because they live on the farms, there's no meaning there, so they have to go to shul Pasha Zohar because places has a story that Pasha Zohar is the rice. Why should Pasha Zohar be the rice? I mean, once a year, every year. The first can say because the Shir Shikha is Yudbeis Chodesh. If for a year a person could forget already what he heard a year ago. So when the person heard, the Torah says you have to learn Parshas Zohar, and Mora says in Megillah that the Dalai that Parshas Zohar has to be in Tech HaKlam. Has to be in Tech HaKstab and HaSeif and the Tech, not Zechir B'Lay, has to be the Tech and Tech HaSeif. And the Rosh Hadzan has to be with the Minyan. So and then the Chinuch Hadzan that perhaps it has to be once a year every year. Why once a year every year? So the Acharei Ma'aram, because that's a Shir Shikham, the Torah says Zohar, you should remember. So that's how we learn. Why do we learn Parshas Zohar before Purim? That's not there. So that's already the Rabban. They have a relationship and a connection between Zechiras Amalek and Haman, because Haman was a descendant of Amalek.
What if you have the Shay?
Yeah, that's a good time. Right. So the Magen Avraham says that that you yotze Parshas Zohar not only when you learn it the Shabbos before Purim, you yotze when you learn the regular Parshas Hashavua or Parshas Zohar. So that is
have
years. If you claim to be yet to the Parshas Zohar, the Parshas Hashavua, then learning it before Purim is only the Rav Hashanah. If the guy goes to shul every Shabbos, so he's going to go to the Parshas Zohar there, right? By listening to the Parshas Zohar.
Yeah.
Exactly, what is the Chiras Mechias Amalek? Usually we assume that Amalek is already dead a long time ago and has no Shaita Tzad. The name of Rav Chaim, they say over there, Rav Chaim had a chiddush based on a Rambam, and the Rambam writes the dinim of Amon and Bayo, that the Rosh Hashanah the Kol, or Yov Amon and Yov Bekal Hashem, so he writes it Parov Ad Zichron, that we don't have them anymore. When he writes the dinim of Amalek, he doesn't write it Parov Ad Zichron, that they've long since existed. Why not? The Rambam is basing everything on the Mishnayis, and the Mishnayis say that Gosan Cheru Dilbalot Kol Olam Kulay, and San Cheru mixed up all the nationalities, and you know, nobody. The Jewish nation still retains its identity. Maybe the Chinese also, I don't know. Those,
some part of the empire.
Pardon me?
That's beyond the empire that does not have conflict.
Right. They weren't affected. But all the countries that were affected by Sanherib, so he completely mixed everybody up, and nobody is in their original place. So there's no din of Mitzrayim, there's not as the Mishnah says, there's no din of Ammon and Moab. L'chadosh, we know din of Amalek either. The Amalek must have lost their identity. Who is going to identify as Amalek? Dalbi Pashtus, Rav Chaim Meir. Why did the Rambam only write Barav Adichon by Yamin and Barav, and he doesn't write it by, and he writes it by Mitzri, and the original mission is by Mitzri, and he doesn't write it by Amol. So B'shem Rav Chaim, the same yeshiva is that he had a chiddush that that any nation that doesn't believe in God, that is interested in wiping out the Jewish nation, it says Belayori Aliki, says Mechurim that they were not Yori Aliki, they didn't believe in any God at all, and they were interested in killing all the Jews, so they had the din of Amor. That was Rav Chaim. So they had a claim, Rav Chaim claimed that they have a din of Amor, the full din of Amor. Let's say the Arabs not. The Arabs are very interested in killing the Jews, but they're very religious. They stick very, very much to the religion. But the Nazis are not. The Rav made a big speech at the Mizrahi convention. I remember I was a little bored. I think 35 years ago. The Rav made a big speech that the Nazis, when the Germans were willing to give reparations money, the question was whether the Medina Sassol should accept it or not. He said no. The Rav said a speech no. They're not allowed to take it. But the din is that they have a din of Amalek, the Nazis have a din of Amalek, but the people are giving the money are Christians. People are giving the money now, first of all, giving back Jewish money. That's what everybody thinks, that they didn't listen to it. First of all, they're giving Jewish money. Secondly, that they have a din of Amalek, and Rashi and the Rambam both say that by Amalek you have to kill Mishorat, Chamorat, you have to wipe out everything, and not allowed to be none of many of them. Third, this week's Lenin. We read like that, that Shmuel told Shaul that he has to wipe out all the behemoths, he's not allowed to be landed from anything. So the Mechaschina Pine is against Rashi and the Rambam, that was only a Hirosh, that's not a din Doris. The Doris, it's only din, you have to kill out the people from Amalek, the men and the women, the human beings, but not that the money is also Manon. Yeah. Possibly. So the Rav Tainet based on looking at the Mechaschina, he found based on Rashi and the Rambam, he said that the money is also Vano. He said you're not allowed to take the money. But the Medina didn't listen to them. Not everybody listens to them. In Yiddish there's an expression, the Herzen Vim Rav. They listen to him like they listen to Rav. He said they don't listen. The Yiddish friend, they don't listen.
Why do we judge Schiro based on the sheer Rav?
If you say that the word Zohar means Lahazik here, not to remember,
right.
So why should
we always
anyway? Right, that's what the Chinuch is specific about. The Chinuch says maybe Yotze once in a lifetime. Maybe if you heard Parshas Zohar once in a lifetime, you Yotze ready for the rest of your life. Or maybe Ulai, he writes, maybe you have to hear it once a year every year because the word Zohar means Lahazik here, but it's in the same word, which normally means this code to remember. If you remember, it means once a year, because you face Chodesh, and therefore maybe Lahazki also means in the faith. That's what the Chinuch is Masufik. Maybe it's once in a lifetime, or maybe it's like the Chachamim on Misakim once a year. Maybe that's really what the Din Der Eis always wants.
The problem is, what about the Hebrew? Wouldn't that be the same reason that you have said it's the same reason?
Yeah, yeah.
The
Hebrew
has to get
But the Yud Beis Chodesh for the Shikchas HaMeis is Yud Beis Chodesh. It means 12 months.
Let's say someone had his way with, let's say, Tishrei. Even if the following year is the 13 month year, you're still going to have the Yahtzeit and Tishrei.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see that it's not Yahtzeit 12 months.
But I don't think the Yahrzeit is really related to this. That there are other things that are based on this and on Vedas. For example, whether you put the sun in Hagen Havad, that you put them on Seivav, Dafki before the Yud Beis Chodesh Arav, and you still remember the Niftar. Then you put up a matzeva to continue to remember. And others have the minute you have to put the matzeva after the Yud Beis Chodesh Arav, after you've already forgotten the Shir Shik Chazin the Chodesh, then you put up a matzeva to continue to remember. If you kiveg on your day, on the bottom of your day, quotes are different than Hogan. So those Menhagim depend on Yud Beis Chodesh, not on the year. Yahrzeit is not really based on the Shik.
story you have that when Shaul told the Shaul finally said vidui, he says that you're right, Shmuel, I didn't observe the mitzvah. Avarti espi Hashem v'espicha. So what kind of a lashon is that? Avarti espi Hashem v'espicha. I violated what you told me. I violated the Dvar Hashem. So remember, one of my rabbis from Rabbi Yeshiva thought that that pasuk seems to be a riot in Minhasina. But Minhasina says that the fact that he had to kill all the behemoths was only her rashah. The fact that he had to kill the people, that's really a mitzvah of those. That's a mitzvah of the The fact that he had to kill the behemoths was only her rashah. So when Shaul admits that he did an Averis, so he says, Avarti espi Hashem, I violated the din d'oraisa, but I left Agag alive. I didn't kill Agag. So that's mamish pi Hashem, that's a din d'oraisa. The espicha, and I violated the Dvar HaNavi. He was over al divrei Navi, that Shmuel HaNavi told him that the Torah HaRashoah, that she didn't kill the Ben. So from the Lashon HaPasuk, it sounded a little bit the way the Minhaskinah said, because it's the way the Rashi and the Rama mold, and the Chinuch also, that the din is always with Doris like that, that you have to kill all the behemoths, and everything is also Banoah. So then Avarti espi Hashem, he violated the din of Torah. What's that? This way, espicha. Shmuel HaNavi just told him it's time to be in kind of mitzvah d'oraisa.
Is this din of Amalek? Is that, could that be an individual? Is that that could be a tzibur, a nation? Or something? In other words, there's a person that that wants to kill out. Am Yisrael doesn't believe in God. Is he considered Amalek by himself?
Yeah, but he was a descendant from Amalek. Was the Zerchan his own right to have a din Amalek? He gotta be used. Okay. But we learned in his biography that there's a very fascinating biography. It's called Abir Haroi. It has all the stories about him when he was a little kid. So they tell a fascinating story when he was a little kid. He was also very sharp, we used to say. And he was once gnashing candy, and his mother caught him, and she asked, Avramala, what are you doing? So he said Yiddish, that he's doing what the Talmud Mukla says about Yaakov. But Yaakov says, Yif Nash. Doesn't say Yif Nash. No. It says the Achmed, doesn't say Yif Nash. The Sedra speaks about Binya HaMishkan. The Torah tells us that for the purpose of Binya HaMishkan, there was a double Gviyah, there was a double form of collection. There was a Gviyah Lefi Nefashos and a Gviyah Lefi Mamon. In Shulchan Aruch, we learned this, the Hilchos Shliach Tzibur, in Tidun Nun Hei, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes, when you have to engage a chazan, so the question is, how do you tax the members of the community for the purpose of paying the salary of the chazan? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Rishonim, let's say the chazan is going to be paid $20,000 a year, whatever. Let's say $20,000 a year. Too much of
CTM.
Okay. No, now they get paid much more.
That's why it's
so the $20,000 a year, you have to divide up among the Balabatim. It's a $10,000 you collect between the Foshas and $10,000 you collect between Momo. That means, let's say you have $10,000 has to be collected between the Foshas. If you have 10 families in the community, each family pays $1,000 each. Right. Whether they're rich or poor. Then the other $10,000 you collect the fee momo depending on how wealthy the people are. How do we get to this compromise that you collect for the salary of the chazan chetzi l'fi momo and the chetzi l'fi nefashos? So they explain that everybody in the community needs the chazan equally. The chazan has to daven for yom, let's say Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, whatever, yom tov, Shabbos, whatever it is. Everybody needs that equally. So as far as that's concerned, everything should be collected with the imam. However, on the other hand, the chazan not only is not talking about tefillah, if it's a community where the people don't know how to daven at all, and the people can't read Hebrew, and the chazan is mostly them Dechavos, and that's all he does, just says Hebrew, he barely makes Hebrew himself. Then you would just collect the fee nefashos because everybody pays equally. If Hayyot said by Yosh, the chazan is entertaining also, and he sings nice and good in him, so that's already extra. That's already a luxury. So when it comes to a luxury, so then you pay according to the fee mamon. Whoever can afford it more has to pay more. What's the whole thing that people can force each other to pay? That's the din of shutzim. Allah says that the people in the community have a status of shutzim together. So the shutzim can talk to each other. To put out money for the things that are necessary for the shutzim.
I don't need to worry. If I left the shul, then I still have to buy the same class.
Yeah. Right. So that's why. So the fina pashas, they're all equal.
Well,
point is that if any single person can say, you know, because of me, then Jitvash is expensive in this time.
Yeah, so that's a din of shuk. That's how we assume. He says in the Chayshe Mishpat, the Yikar din of Pnei Hu Yer Kofim Zezeh, to build a shul and to engage a rabbi and to pave the streets and to make a garbage collection and so on. This is all based on the din of Shutzim. We assume that all the people who live in a community have a status of Shutzim and the Shutzim can be coping each other. You have no needs. If you don't like it, so move out of the neighborhood, move out of the community. When you move out, you're no longer a shul. The cold man that you're there, that you're there, you have a status of a shul. So all the members of the shul, they say, in Europe, they had one shul in town. If you have one shul in town, so everybody in town is a shul. In America, you have many shuls, so all the people who belong to that shul, whoever's a member, is considered a shul. So you collect. But the chazin, the din is you collect chetzi lefi mamon, the chetzi lefi nefash, is because the chazin serves a double function. The fact that he says, Ibrahim, and most people, Kaddish, Kedushin, Baruch, whatever it is, and everybody needs that equally, so that has to be collected in a few moments. But the fact that the chazan does extra things, over and above just barely being mitzvah people, they have them, so that's already like a luxury. So luxuries, you can only be collected in a few moments. And again, the binyan based on Mikdash, how do they collect? So they also collect, not chetzi in a few moments, but chetzi in a few nefashis, not exactly like that, but they also collected. Everybody had to give an equal share. And then in addition to the equal share, Everybody's trumas were, the donations that were equal with were collected for the trumas adonim, I think Rashi says, for part of the Beit HaMikdash. And then everybody gave, the Yashar gave more and the Aniyim gave a little bit, that was already Lefi Mamon. Why was it that in the Beit HaMikdash you have half Lefi Mamon, half Lefi Nefashis? It's because in the Beit HaMikdash also there was either Mishkan, in the Mishkan. They beautified the Mishkan by spending an awful lot of money on everything. Made everything from expensive gold and expensive silver and everything. If they wanted to, they could have been Yotzei, the various tensions, they could have gotten away with much less. But because they wanted, they chose to make it a Hidur Mitzvah, so the Hidur Mitzvah is already, the Asher who can afford it should do a Hidur Mitzvah, the Yoni can afford it, is not Mechorim to do a Hidur Mitzvah. So with respect to the Hidurim, to make, let's say, to build a shul, it would also be like that. We would assume, Allah, when you build a shul, everybody in the community has to participate a little bit in building the shul, because they all need a shul. Hashani came on the fact that they're going to make it a beautiful shul and an expensive thing with expensive seats and everything. So that's where the Hidur is. So when it comes to Hidurim, so the Ashir Mamun Mukhiyav Vinyani. So that part you have to collect Lefi Mamun, not Lefi Nefash. The Paskim discussed. Yeah. Sure. That's the thing. All the people who live in that community are going to be using that shul. Unless the guy makes an announcement in advance, he's not going to use that shul. He's going to download it. Okay? Whatever's going to use that shul, they have a din of shutzim, and you can make kofim zeza for a building campaign, right? You can pray for the fina fashis and the fina moment, folks.
This is supposed to be the shul.
No, these are dinim.
This is dinim because they had to use zahav.
Well, I guess they could have gotten away with cheaper zahav too. But the fact that they used expensive zahav, that was already a hidah mitzvah. So for the hidah mitzvah, the ashir mamon mechuyav lenyani. So they had to pay with the mammon. We have a lot of dinim where we compare hilchos beis haknesses to hilchos beis hamikdash, not only with respect to collecting for the construction of the shul, like for collecting for the construction of the beis hamikdash. We have halachas regarding the etzem kedusha, the beis haknesses as well. The Gemara says in the end of Brachos that the strict halachas of Mora HaMikdash, Mikdashi Tiro, the very strict halachas of Mora HaMikdash do not really apply to a Beit HaKnesses in the same sense, in the same way that they apply to the Beit HaMikdash. But there are some dinim of COVID Mora Beit HaKnesses, not as severe, not as chomer as the Beit HaMikdash proper, but on a lower level. So the Gemara says, what is the klal? So the Gemara says that Kapandaria is not allowed. So if the cut through to use the shul as a shortcut is not allowed. Rikike, the Gemara says, the Gemara, Rikike was allowed. The Gemara says, how do you explain? I think that's in the Beis HaMikdash. But Rikike in a shul, the Zman HaGemara was allowed, and the Zman HaZet not allowed. Why? The Gemara gives the cloud.
Lahev al-Malari.
Okay. Fifth language. What is the klal? So the Gemara brachas gives you the klal. How do you explain why we kick in the base hamikdash we kick a kapandaria both often? How come in the shul kapandaria is also kikas mutter? So the Gemara says keep base off. You treat the shul just like your own, just like if you would be visiting by someone else's house, just like when you would be someone's house. So Bizmana Gemara used to have dirt floors. The people always would sit on the floor and rub the saliva into the floor. So if you have a rug, or you have a tile floor, so the Bizmana said, we don't sit on our floors. If someone comes to my home and spit on the rug, I'll be very nasty. That's why Bizmana said, there's an issue to spit on the shul floor. And Bizmana Gemara, if they have dirt floors, so then it was mutter Bizmana Gemara to spit on the floor. Whatever would not be improper behavior when visiting a friend's house, would be okay in the shul also, but kapandari, people are makbid, like a guy sitting in his own home, and then somebody else knocks on the door, he's in a rush, he has to get to the other side of the street, so he'd like to know, can he walk through my kitchen, he wants to walk through my bedroom in order to get. So that people are makbid, normal people are makbid on that. So since you're makbid on that in your own home, so it's also in the Beis HaKnesset. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's also even rikika, something that you would do in your own home, or that you wouldn't be makbid if other guests would do it in your home, so in the Beis HaMikdash, that's also rikika, is also in the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaKnesset, only such things are rushed that people will be marked in their own home. What exactly is the uptight of this cloth?
Where do you get this from? Kibbeis.
That's the Gemara's Loshen. Kibbeis. That's the Gemara's Loshen. No, no. So what is exactly the cloth? Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik says, based on that Gemara, that if someone visits me in the middle of the winter and it's raining and snowing and they walk into my house with their boots on, they'll be very marked on them. They should walk in on my rugs and even on my tile floor. That doesn't get ruined if you walk in, but still get dirt. People are marked on them. So Rashi thought that the Issa Nat Gemara should be an Issa to walk into shul with your boots on, or with galoshes on, or with stopping wet shoes. But if someone comes into my home and it's pouring outside and they have wet shoes, so I'd be makpid, they should take off their shoes at the door and walk around in their socks. Something? But dry off your shoes before on the mat before you walk into the shul floor, because to walk into the shul, the shul's floor is a tile floor, and it's not going to get ruined. After everybody will make it messy and full of snow and water, they're going to get the shvatzer to wash it up. But still, you wouldn't allow someone to walk into your home and make the floor messy and then clean it up. There should be an Easter to do that in the Beis HaKnesset. What is the cloud that the Gemara gives to Beis HaKnesset? What is the logic behind that? The Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Gemara means to convey the following idea, that there's a basic difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesset. And both, the purpose is that the person should meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They come to the Beis HaMikdash to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you come to Shul to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam to meet with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the difference is that in the Beis HaMikdash, we are the guests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called Beis HaShem, Beisi. The Beisi, Beisi, the Ribbono Shel Olam's home. We are guests by Him. And the Beis HaKnesset is Takeret. We consider it our home, it's basically our home, and the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to visit by us. So that seems to be what the Gemara is driving at when the Gemara says ki beiso, that the kavod that's needed in the Beis HaKnesset, the mora hamikdash mikdash yitiro, is on a much higher level than the mora that we require in the Beis HaKnesset. In the Beis HaMikdash, even rikik is forbidden, something which we wouldn't be makbid on when we'd be visiting someone else's home. We wouldn't be makbid in our own home. Asherikain, kapandaria, whatever normally people are makbid on in their own home, that's forbidden even in the Beis HaKnesset. Why? Because Beis HaKnesset is ki beiso, means It's like our home, except that the Ribbono Shel Olam is visiting by us. That seems to be the gist of what the Gemara is saying. Ki beiso. That's the chilek, the major chilek between the Beis HaKnesset and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in the end of Megillah that a Beis HaKnesset is a mikdash miyad. The pasuk says in Cheskel, "Vo'ehi lohem lemikdash miyad." And Cheskel now speaks about the Golus. When Israel is going to go into Golus after the Churban Bayis Rishon, so he says, even when they go into Golus and the temple will be destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that they will have a Mikdash Meyat, they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash where they will be in Golgoth Bavel. So what is it referring to? So the Gemara says at the end of Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Eilu Bat HaKnesset Bat Midrash Hashem Begavel, they have the status of a Mikdash Meyat. And what sense are they? A miniature Beis HaMikdash? They're Beis HaMikdash in the sense that it's a place where the Shekhinah meets with the Bas of Adam. And it's a miniature in the sense that in the Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaShem. It's Beis HaShem, we're visiting by Him. And in the Bat HaKnesset, the Bat Midrashis, Beis HaShem, it's our home, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is visiting by us. It's because of this major difference that there's a machlokis among the pasuk regarding the nature of the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesset, whether it's a Kedusha Deraisa or a Kedusha Derabbanan. first is a machlokes in Rishon, and the famous machlokes in the Ran and the Ramban. What's the gedera din of kedushas beis haknesses? The Mishnah says in Megillah that beis haknesses has a kedusha, and if you want to sell it to a library or you want to sell it to, let's say, that the shvarzer should use it for a rehabilitation center for drug addicts or something like whatever, for a nursery or something like that. So then the Gemara says you have to see how to get rid of the kedusha of the beis haknesses. So what is the kedusha beis haknesses is based on? So there's machlekes there, the Ramban, not Mishnah Megillah, Bnei Hoir, the machlekes the Ramban, the kedushin against the Ran. So the Ramban says that it's a tashmishay mitzvah, just like a lulav and a sukkah and a pair of tzitzis and a shofar, that bizman mitzvasa they have kedusha. Shalosh bizman mitzvasa they don't have kedusha. How do you know that bizman mitzvasa they have kedusha? Because the Gemara learns out that shem shachal shem shemay malach hagiga. Chachal Shem Shemayim ala Sukkah. That's the Gemara Sukkah that says in Rav. It says Chag of Sukkah Tassava. The Hukish Sukkah la Chag. There's a hekish between the Sukkah and the Chag. Just like a Chag means the Korban Chagiga. Has Kedusha. So to the Sukkah has Kedusha. Ah, Gemara says Megillah. Sukkah is Tashmish and Mitzvah that it is rocking. That after Yom Tov is over, you can throw the whole Sukkah in the garbage. You can burn it. It's not like an old pair of tefillin or an old Sefer Torah or a mantle of a Sefer Torah or a tefillin zekel or something like that. That has to be in the Gemara. You have to put it in Shemis. It's Tong and easy. At all, so this Tashmishi Mitzvah is rocking. So what is this other Gemara saying that after Tzimin Aleph and Sukkah that Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Alach Hagige Chal Shem Shemayim Alach Sukkah? What do you mean Chal Shem Shemayim? It doesn't have any Kedusha. The Ramban says no, it's not true. That Pasuk teaches us that all Tashmishi Mitzvah have a Kedusha Bizman Mitzvah. On Sukkah is the Lulav and the Shofar, Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, that is, and the Lulav on Sukkah, and the Beis Haknesses is called man that people use it to daven because it helps you daven better. But people get together and they daven in the shul, so it helps them be more kavanah more. So beis haknesses is a tashmishay mitzvah. It's an object that you use that helps you to do a mitzvah better, or let's say a pair of tzitzis or a talis is a tashmishay mitzvah. The cold man that is roy with mitzvah, so you can't say like on Rosh Hashanah the shofar is a tashmishay mitzvah, but the man mitzvah it has to do shul. On sukkah the lulav and the sukkah a tashmishay mitzvah is man mitzvah. What would be the Zman Mitzvah of a Beis Haknesses, and what would be the Zman Mitzvah of a Talis? Called Zman, that it's a Rosh Mitzvah, when the Talis is already torn, and no one in his right mind is going to use it anymore, then the Zman Mitzvah is obviously thrown in the garbage.
What if you take down the shul, and you
have to turn
the shul
into
the church,
and you have to turn the shul into the church?
Well, it's not right for
a Mitzvah anymore. Right, so the Ramban says, Nikaradin, when you build another shul, or if everybody moves out of the neighborhood, so the Zman Mitzvah is over. The Mikra, then you can do whatever you want. But the whole din after the people moved out or they've already switched to use the other shul, the whole din that you're not allowed to be involved in the shul is only the Rabbanon, and therefore you have kulis. That's how the Ramban explains the whole Yisrael.
But isn't there, in the Mishnah, you also say there's a
hand provision against it? Yeah, there is.
There is some
hand provision. Right, right. He said that's only the Rabbanon. He says, Mina, the Kedusha is only called Ma Mitzvah, like the lulav and the shofar and the tzitzit. Allah is one of the and nobody is any longer davening in the shul, so it no longer retains any kedusha. And it's only the Rabbanim, it doesn't affect anybody moved out in the neighborhood, you're still not allowed to use it for the Rechol. So since it's only the Rabbanim, so then you have kulis. So that's how to deal with the Dinah Rabbanim. Sell it and use the money for something, more important, the Rechol or something. And the Ran disagrees with the Rabbanim. He says, no, he thinks that based on this Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, that Ehi Lahem Lamigdush Miyad, that Pasuk in Yechezkel is referring to what you can see as a Bat Midrashos. So it means to say that a Beis Haknesses has a Tashmishe Kedusha, not only a Tashmishe Mitzvah. It's a status of Tashmishe Kedusha. I think it's Tashmishe Kedusha. So how come if everybody moved out of the neighborhood, why is it that if you sell the shul, so then the Kedusha goes off? So it's like Pidyon Hekdush. So it's like if Hekdush owns something. The Hekdush is Yotzei L'chul and Aydei Pidyon. So he said when you sell the shul, so the shul is also Yotzei L'chul and Aydei Pidyon. These are basic machlokes between the Ramban and the Ran, how to understand the whole series of dinim, all the dinim, very complicated halachas in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara Megillah and the Shulchan Aruch, regarding selling shul, therefore nobody is using it anymore. The Ramban claims that a shul only has a Tashmishay Mitzvah Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Tashmishay Mitzvah, Bizman Mitzvah. And after Bizman Mitzvah is up, no one's using the shul anymore, so he says, Minatara doesn't have any Kedusha at all. It's only a make believe Kedusha with the Rabbana, and that's why you have Kulas. And the Ramban says, not true. It has the status of a Tashmishay Kedusha, not the status of Tashmishay Mitzvah. Has a din of a Migdash Meyat.
Rosh
Hashanah? No. After Rosh Hashanah is over, you can throw the shofar in the garbage. That's the Gemara Megillah says, Tashmishay Mitzvah is rocking. may be thrown in the garbage. So the Gemara gives the Brisa and Megillah, gives examples, gives a shofar, a lulav, an esrog, a sukkah. After sukkah is over, on sukkah is not. But after sukkah is over, you can destroy. Hashem came to Shmishik Kedusha, he came to Kedusha in there for his Mahamid. Yeah, there are a few Nafkaminas. Yeah, there are a few Nafkaminas. I don't remember offhand, but the Ram gives a few Nafkaminas for you.
What do you mean the Ramban says that's why there are coolers? That's what you mean? Mm-hmm. He said that the Ramban says it's Ramban, that's why there are coolers.
Yeah.
The Ram doesn't agree with these coolers, or he says.
No, the Gemara has coolers. If you sell a shul, you sell a building, and then you use the money for whatever you want.
Why is that a
cooler? But the Ranhol. If you have an old Sefer Torah, you know, an old mantle of a Sefer Torah, you can't sell it to someone else who's going to use it for a coat. Tashmish Kedusha. But the Ran says, no, this is a different kind of Tashmish Kedusha. This is Tashmish Kedusha of Hegdish, which has Pidyon, like the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban says, no, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. That's an Agarata. Mikdash Miat is an Agarata. Mikra Adin, the only status of Kedusha that you have in a shul is Tashmish Mitzvah, Tizma Mitzvah, and that they have a Kedusha like Sukkah, Sukkah Shlechah.
He's saying that
Ramban saying that Tashmish and
Mitzvah have
Kedusha?
Or
yes, he says so. He says in a few places Tashmish and Mitzvah have Kedusha, Bizman Mitzvah.
Right.
And after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, then it's Nizra.
But not that there's Tashmish and Kedusha, the same way as
what I'm No, he says all Tashmish and Mitzvah have Kedusha, Bizman Mitzvah.
So I'm not sure why you're in the Kedusha.
If you what?
You
the Rabbanan. The whole thing is make believe in the Rabbanan. Why did they institute him in the Rabbanan? Maybe because of Mikdash Miyat and the Rabbanan. But he says, not Mikir Adin. Mikir Adin, their eyes say that everything is mute. After the people stop davening in that shul, everything is mute. Within the Shitas Haran, that the Ran holds that. That the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is a dogma of Kedusha HaMikdash. There is a big machlokas among the Rishonim and among the Achronim whether this implies that the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses will be the right to the Rabban. Because there's a major difference between the two. One is Kibbeis and one is Beis Hashem. One is Beis Hashem, we're visiting there, one is our home where the Rabban Shalom is visiting by us. The many Rishonim and many Post and Achronim say that the whole drasha that the Ran said, the whole shtickle prayer of the Ran is all itself with the Rabban. The whole thing is going with the Rabbanan. That makes the Shmiyat, the whole Chagad is with the Rabbanan. And a third, no Kedush is Beis HaKnesses. And the Yireyim, the Blessed and Mitzvah, say the Yireyim, within the Ran.
Within the Ran,
and the Ran holds that the Kedush is Beis HaKnesses, is a Dugma of Kedush is HaMikdash. Based on the Agarit in the end of Megillah, Mikdash Miyat, referring to Bat Kenesia Shev Bavel, then now there's a major machlokes among Rishonim and among Achronim. How do you understand that? Whether that itself is within the Araita, and that's only an asmachtim the Rabbanan. So the big one who's machmir is the Chachma Sarah. And the Hilchas Avelis is the thing. You're not allowed to use a shul for any purposes other than Torah Tefillah. So what happens if you want to make a head to the shul? So if it's an Adam Choshev Miyari, that big Tama Chachma, or an Eishi Tama Chachma, so then you're allowed to have the head to the shul. You're allowed to take the Aron into the shul, also when you make the head to the shul. It doesn't say the favor. So the Chachma Sarah makes a big rash about this, that it's an Easter, that you're not allowed to take the Aron into the shul. And he says that the Prat, that the Sefer Yireyim writes that the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is the Kedusha Deraisa. Sefer Yireyim holds like the Ran, that the Mikdash Miyat is a real Rosh Gemurah Deraisa, and that every shul has the status of a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash Menan Torah. So that's why the Chachma Sodom has this Kum in Hilchot Avelis, and then in the Chayod, in Hilchot Beis HaKnesses, those have a lot of Kumers. And he says, whenever you have a topic in Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, you have to go to Kumer because it's the Sefer Deraisa. And other posts can disagree. They hold that the whole idea that the Ram developed over here is going to the Rabbanan. That the Mikdash Miyat, that the Shul has the status of the Beis HaMikdash, is only with the Rabbanan. The Maisen Paskin, there are three sheikhs regarding constructing a Shul. Some Paskin hold that constructing a Shul is really a Dvar HaShus, it's not a mitzvah. It's like paving the street. It's like having a garbage collection and having a sewage system in the city. So a shul makes it more convenient to daven. It's much nicer to daven a shul rather than to daven in someone's basement or someone's garage or something like that. Much more pleasant. So the Bnei Huir can be kofed as that to build a shul, like it says in Chosh Mishpah, like they kofed each other to pave the streets and to make a library and to make a museum, whatever they think, whatever is necessary. Whatever rather secular tzorah, there's a religious tzorah, that's about all. But it's not nothing to do with the mitzvah of the Otzolei Mikdash. And other posts can disagree. They say, no, what do you mean? This is not just Bnei Huir Kofim Zeh Zeh like paving the streets and so on. It's a real mitzvah of Yosef Migdosh. But they argue that the key amount mitzvah of Yosef Migdosh is a mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah derabbanon. But those achrayim will hold that the Kedushi Pesach Knesset is only the Rabbanon. The whole idea that the Ram developed based on the Gemara, the end of Megillah, that a Pesach Knesset is a mitzvah shmiyat, that's only an asmat from the Rabbanon. So they hold, true, there is a mitzvah to build the shul, but the mitzvah to build the shul is only a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, the Yosef Migdosh. Because when Atar really isn't a mitzvah shmiyat. According to the Chaya Yodom, of course, the Tireyim, it would be a mitzvah deraisa of Yosef Migdosh.